The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
I want to be in the light, as you are in the light. I want to shine like the stars in the heavens.
Welcome to A Passion for Christ, a heart-to-heart conversation with pastors called to build the kingdom of God here in Southern California.
All I want is to be in the light.
Welcome to A Passion for Christ. I'm your host, Donna Rush. You know, many of us likely think of our pastors or our ministry leaders as superheroes with this Teflon coating. But, you know, the reality is they are still human. And my guest on A Passion for Christ has a passion to help ministry leaders and pastors maintain their spiritual health in the chaotic ministry environment of today. And what he has to say is important for us to hear as well, I think, in helping make sure we're helping with that process, but also maintaining our own spiritual health. Dr. Jeff Orge is president of Gateway Seminary. He is a pastor. He is a teacher specializing in leadership. He teaches leadership, preaching, and church ministry courses at Gateway and speaks frequently on these subjects in conferences and other venues, including college campuses and leadership seminars. And his publications include 9 books, among them The Painful Side of Leadership, The Character of Leadership, Ministry in the New Marriage Culture, and his latest, Shadow Christians. He has also written dozens of articles and curriculum materials, and we're going to hear about some of that tonight. Welcome, Dr. Orge.
Thanks for having me on the show again.
You bet. It's always a pleasure. You always have just some fascinating, just wisdom, really, to
well, thank
share with
you.
Us.
Thank you very much. Yeah.
And this, okay, so this topic that we're facing tonight, you were talking about, you know, really ministry leaders maintaining their spiritual health in the midst of ministry chaos. I would love for you to share with me how this all came about.
Well, it all started a few years ago, when Seattle, Washington was going through some really difficult times. You may remember the autonomous zone that was formed, and then all the chaos that came out of that, compounded by COVID and all that was going on with the pandemic and the masks and the vaccines and the mandates and all of those things. Well, a group of pastors called me and asked, could I come to Seattle and simply teach about this theme, how to maintain spiritual health in the context of ministering in such chaos?
Wow.
And so I put together some material and taught those guys, and not only then from that opportunity, but doors continue to open, and I've been just teaching pastors and other ministry leaders how to maintain their spiritual health in the midst of so much chaos in the context, in the culture, and in the context where we're working today.
So what kind of a reception are you receiving with this? These pastors and ministry leaders that you're speaking with, how has it been received? What kind of feedback are you getting?
It's like pouring water onto a parched earth.
Oh,
it's like pouring, it's like leading someone into an oasis. It's it's just a wonderful thing to see God work in the lives of ministry leaders and sustain them and really rejuvenate them for ministry.
Mm.
You know, Donna, pastors particularly, but other ministry leaders as well, are being drained significantly by the emotional and psychological and spiritual demands that are being placed on them simply by the increased burdens of ministry that they're feeling right now. And so to come alongside them and give them hope and encouragement and strength is been rewarding, but it's also been exciting to see just how responsive they really are to it, how much they need it and how desirous of it they are.
How does all this chaos just really drain ministry leaders?
Well, it does it by taking so much emotional energy out of us. And and it's difficult because on so many issues today, there's really no escaping the conflict that seems to come with them. You know, back during the pandemic, there was this whole conflict over masks and vaccines and mandates. But then moving out of the pandemic, there's all kinds of issues related to social dilemmas we're living through and political conflicts we're having. Listen, I had one pastor recently call me and say that a physical fist fight broke out in his elders' meeting over the presidential election that's coming. This kind of intense kind of conflict and drain is just sucking the life out of pastors and other ministry leaders.
All right. So what can ministry leaders do to maintain their spiritual vitality? What are you sharing with them? And I was just thinking about this, too, is that, you know, if we're feeling that as not necessarily ministry leaders and pastors, I can only imagine them, because as we're feeling all of this going on, we're going to them and leaning on them for guidance and all of that. So what do you...
Where do you start
with them? Yes.
Well, it might surprise you, but the first thing we do is we don't start with some expansive new idea that no one's ever heard of. Instead, we go back to the very basic thing. The first step is to make sure that as a ministry leader, you maintain your spiritual disciplines. And I've boiled this down to what I call the core four for ministry leaders in this conference I've been leading. Read the Bible, pray, worship, and rest. And if you get those four things right, you're going to find a strength and a stability that comes spiritually that you really need. Now, there's other spiritual disciplines like fasting and journaling and solitude. I'm not saying those things aren't helpful
too.
But I'm talking about what's at the core, what keeps you going. What is it that sustains you every day against the onslaught of the drain that you're feeling as a ministry leader? And it starts with read the Bible, pray, worship, and rest. And when you do those things consistently, it rejuvenates you spiritually.
It's just like when we get away from, you know, attending church or leaning into our church family and leaning into a same thing.
Yeah, it's so much like that. And the dirty little secret of ministry leadership is how many ministry leaders get so caught up in doing ministry things for others that they forget to tend to their own soul and to take care of themselves spiritually. And it's interesting when I teach on this, how many pastors just sit there silently nodding their head like, yep, that's exactly what I struggle with.
So what do you share with them about caring for themselves, the self-care, in addition to the core four, as you mentioned, and those other things, fasting and other things that can be done. But what you talk about self-care, what do you mean by that?
Well, the first thing I do is I teach about these spiritual disciplines that I just mentioned. But then the second thing is I challenge pastors to think about the concept of self-care in a healthy way. Now, the first time I heard the phrase self-care, I reacted very negatively to that.
It's not taking a bubble bath and doing a mask.
Right. I thought, I didn't sign up for self-care. I signed up for self-sacrifice. I signed up to give my life for the ministry, the kingdom of God. I didn't sign up to be taken care of.
Yeah.
But what I learned was that I was confusing self-care with another phrase called self-indulgence. And I think there's a big difference. I define self-care as activities that rejuvenate us spiritually, emotionally, relationally, so that we can keep on in ministry to others. But self-indulgence is just pampering or pandering to ourselves for our own selfish desires. And frankly, I can't find any biblical justification for a ministry leader to pander or pamper themselves just to fulfill their selfish desires. But there's ample biblical evidence, starting with the life of Jesus, for example, of taking care of yourself so that you can extend ministry to others.
Well, he even went, he would go away alone in solitude to talk with his Father just in
quiet. One example. There's also Jesus took care of himself spiritually by retreating for prayer, but he also took care of himself relationally by being with people that energized him. You know, when the Bible says Jesus went to weddings and dinner parties and experiences like this, it's not just laying out the historical context of what Jesus did, it's actually teaching us something. Jesus liked being with people and found them to be energizing and wanted to be around people, especially his disciples, who really brought life to him. And so Jesus not only rested, but he also, Jesus not only worshiped and re-energized and connected himself with God, but he also spent time with people. And then he also pulled away and went away and rested and took care of himself. I mean, the Bible says he slept and he retreated and he did things that really brought energy back to himself. And if I could just make one more point about this difference. You know, I've thought a lot about, okay, self-care is taking care of yourself so you can minister to others. Self-indulgence is just taking care of yourself. Well, I fly a lot in my job.
Mm-hmm.
And I've learned to tune out the flight attendant when she's giving the safety briefing.
Right.
But the other day I listened and I heard something that really illustrates this principle very clearly. The flight attendant said, if the oxygen mask dropped from the ceiling, put yours on first.
Mm.
Then you can help the people around you, your child or an elderly person traveling with you. And I thought, she didn't give those instructions because we don't care about children.
Right.
She gave those instructions because if the adult doesn't take care of himself or herself first, there won't be anyone to take care of the people around them. And
wow.
That's the perfect picture of self-care for ministry leaders. We're not taking care of ourselves because we're being selfish. We're taking care of ourselves so that we can give ourselves away to other people and not just do it for a day or a week, but do it over a lifetime.
Mm. So what are some things that we talked about the core four that they're important that we each do each and every day? Are there other things that you recommend?
Yeah, there's really three aspects of self-care. The mm-hmm. first is spiritual, which I've already talked about, maintaining your spiritual disciplines by doing mm-hmm. these core things. The second part of self-care, though, is taking care of yourself physically. And that's making sure that you eat well and that you sleep enough and that you rest appropriately. And the Bible talks a lot about these issues, about eating and sleeping and resting appropriately.
Mm.
And I won't hammer us too much today about eating and sleeping, although I could talk about both of those things.
I like those things.
But resting for ministry leaders
yes.
is very significant. Mm. You know, the Bible has a pattern of 6 days a week of working and 1 day a week of resting. And ministry leaders, particularly because most of us work on Sundays, we can tend to fall into patterns of just working constantly and never really pulling away and disengaging and resting. In 1985, my wife and I had a pretty significant conflict and confrontation over this, which led me to have to make some serious changes in the way I did ministry. And so, Donna, I can tell you that since 1985, now for more than 40 years, my wife and I have practiced the discipline of rest away from our ministry responsibilities for 1 day a week for about 45 weeks a year. Now, we don't hit it 52. We're not perfect people. We have struggles like everybody else.
Mm-hmm.
But we estimate that pretty consistently, 42 to 45 weeks a year, we have a day a week where we just pull away.
Right.
We turn off our phones. We don't do email. We disengage emotionally. And we just try to reconnect with each other and reconnect with life and enjoy a day of rejuvenation so that we can go back at it the next day.
Right.
And so ministry leaders, first of all, need those spiritual disciplines. Second, we need physically taking care of ourselves. And then the third thing I would say is just what I call relational infusions. And we can talk about this a little more, but ministry leaders need to surround themselves with people who really infuse us and not just drain us all the time.
All right. All right. If you just joined us, you are listening to A Passion for Christ right here on 99.5 KKLA. I'm your host, Donna Rush. And my guest is Dr. Jeff Orge, president of Gateway Seminary, which, by the way, has six locations, including the greater LA campus in Ontario. And it's a seminary rooted in the inerrant Word of God. And we're talking today about how to maintain your spiritual health in the chaotic ministry environment of today. All right, so Dr. Orge, let's get a little bit more relationally. We talked spiritually, physically, and relationally, social. We just touched on that a bit. So let's go a little bit further into that one before we step on.
A few years ago, a fellow wrote a book that he said, there's VEPs, VIPs, and VDPs in ministry. VEPs are very encouraging people, and VIPs are very inspiring people. And VDPs are very draining people.
Oh.
And you might think, well, you just need to avoid that third category. Well, you can't, because that's who we minister to, is people who are in need,
mm-hmm.
people who are hurting, people mm-hmm. who are troubled. And so they're going to suck spiritual energy out of us. They're
yes.
going to take life from us. And that's perfectly normal and acceptable. It's what we do. We give ourselves away to hurting people. But you have to balance that by having some people in your life that are encouraging and inspiring and build into you as well. And I challenge ministry leaders to look into four categories of people. First, you need a mentor, someone who you can go mm-hmm. to with wisdom and guidance and for direction. And second, you need a ministry peer. That's someone who does what you do, like another pastor or a youth pastor or someone like that who does what you do and understands your world.
Yeah.
And then third, you need a colleague. That's someone who does what you do with you. And this can be an elder or a deacon or a fellow staff member or someone in your church, but it's someone that's in the battle with you.
Gotcha.
And then finally, and this surprises some ministry leaders, but you need what I call an everyday friend.
Yeah.
That's someone who's not a pastor or a ministry leader, but someone who's just a guy you go fishing with or a woman you go out for coffee with, someone that you have as an everyday friend that brings energy into your life and brings strength and support and encouragement. For example, I've got a guy in my life named Gary. Mm-hmm. He's a business guy, and we've been friends for years, and we enjoy getting together and doing things. Sometimes we've even been on vacation with our wives together. We've been on mission trips together, but mainly we just like to do things together. And he has a rule that when we're together, he never says the word seminary.
Oh.
Because he's not really wanting to be my friend based around my work. Right. He wants to be my friend based around just being my friend. And so having that kind of treasure in my life really energizes me. So you may not have all four of these groups of people or all four of these categories all the time. I don't mean that. But as a ministry leader, these are the kind of relationships that you develop that over a lifetime will keep you going.
Yes.
A mentor, a colleague, a peer, and a friend. These are people that energize us and give us encouragement and inspiration and really build us up so that we are able to stay in the battle and stay equipped to really help people that really do drain us, because there are needy people, hurting people, troubled people that we have to give ourselves to. Mm-hmm. But we need that balance.
Yeah, I can believe that. All right, so what about retreats? I mean, how important is it for a pastor to actually take some time? Do they ever go on vacation?
I mean,
that's important, right?
Yeah.
So what about those times of just vacation, as you talked about, going on trips with your friends and stuff, versus like actual just retreats? Explain the difference, and is that important for a church to allow
pastors to do that? It's more than just allow. It ought to be insisted on. Let's look at the Old Testament. You know, in the Old Testament, the Jews had 3 week-long festivals every year that were set aside for worship and rest and break, and they were spread throughout the year.
Yeah.
Now, I'm not being legalistic about it and saying every pastor should take 3 weeks, but only 1 week at a time and anything like that. But what I am saying is the Bible establishes a pattern of weekly rest, but of seasonal rest as well. And seasonal rest means that whether for a spiritual retreat or even for a family vacation, that you pull away from your normal life pattern and you disengage from your responsibilities and you really refocus your attention both on God and the people that matter the most to you, usually your family, and you rejuvenate yourself through that means so that you come back ready to go again.
Yeah.
And I think that sometimes in American culture we see vacation as conquering territory, our conquering experiences, and we come home and we often say we need a rest from our vacation.
Yes.
Well, that's not the point. Rest or vacation is supposed to be a rest break where you come back rejuvenated and ready to go. So, yes, retreats are helpful, and so are vacations to maintaining the balance you need in ministry.
How important is it? I would think maybe pastors that don't have as large of a staff or support system, that may be more difficult for them to do. Is there more stress perhaps on the smaller congregational leaders and pastors than a larger congregation?
There can be, but it can't. You still have to follow these principles no matter your situation. You know, I haven't always been the president of a large seminary.
Mm-hmm.
I was a church planter with two families in a middle school gymnasium starting a brand new church.
Wow.
So those 5 years after I planted that church, it wasn't a large church. It wasn't a mega church. I didn't have a huge staff.
Right.
But I still had to take time away. And so in those contexts, you have to be creative. Is there another pastor in your community that will help cover for you when you're gone, and maybe you'll cover for him when he's gone?
Oh, wow.
Are there some lay leaders that you can train to take care of things when you're not present? Can you set up someone to come in perhaps for 2 or 3 weeks and be sort of a mini interim leader for you while you're gone? There are creative ways you can do this, and you have to do if you're in a small church to make this happen. But nevertheless, you have to disengage and rejuvenate, rebuild yourself to keep going in ministry.
You know, something that you just talked about, that's really one of the important things of pastoral leadership is to always be developing leaders, right?
Absolutely. And also developing people so that you can hand over responsibility and you can help you share the burden of responsibility. That's part of the role as well. But another important part of this for pastors is training themselves, their families, and their churches about what a real emergency is.
Wow. That's very wise. I can see where this is going. Go ahead.
You know, just because someone thinks they're having an emergency yes. doesn't mean they're having mm-hmm. one. Mm-hmm. You know, at the seminary, for example, when I take my day away every week, I can be reached. We have a system in place where if I'm needed, I can be connected to the seminary very quickly. But very few emergencies that come up in our world can't wait 12 hours.
Got it.
Mm-hmm. Now, of course, when something does happen, you need to be reached as a pastor. Mm-hmm. But most of the time, most things can wait a day or two. And so teaching people to understand what a real emergency is, helping your lay leaders understand when they really need to reach out to you, that's essential to being able to take this kind of rest time that I'm talking about today.
You know, I think you were just saying that, and you were just saying it could wait 12 hours or what have you. Often I think we think of pastors as just being 24/7 on call, mm-hmm. but they're even, let's talk about just on a daily basis that just like people who work a regular, I'm putting in mm-hmm. quotes, job, but you know, sure. just in an office, you need to have those boundaries too of sure. your family time or your, sure. you know, downtime. So what about on a daily basis? What does that look like?
Well, it's absolutely true that you have to learn to set these boundaries and help manage realistic expectations. You know, when I first started out as a pastor, if the phone rang, I hopped up and took yeah. off to the need. But I learned over time that that wasn't always even helpful to the person I was going to. I remember once I had a couple in my church that had continual crises in their marriage, and every time they had one, I would rush there to try to help, mm-hmm. and we never made any progress. And then one time they had one of these crisis moments, and mm-hmm. I said, I really can't come right now, but if you'll be in my office tomorrow at 2:00 in the afternoon, I'll be glad to meet with you. And they said, oh, we'll be there, and they never came. And I learned that what they were using me for was an emotional release, not mm-hmm. really getting help that they needed. And when I told them, all right, you need to come for real help, they were, we're not so sure we want that. And I discovered through that experience that when people really need your help, they will accommodate your schedule and your need. Now, again, in a true crisis, you always make a response.
Sure.
But part of learning how to manage these situations is understanding that what everyone thinks is a crisis automatically isn't necessarily one for you. And to help people to learn that you'll be available to them, but at the right time and in the right way.
It's amazing. Those people may kind of work it out on their own. It gives them that opportunity. Hopefully it gives that opportunity to do that. Is there anything else you just wanted to add about this whole topic of the spiritual vitality, you know, in a cultural chaos?
I would say to all of you who are listening that aren't pastors or ministry leaders, take responsibility to help your pastor or ministry leader to put these things into practice. Mm-hmm. Most pastors feel a deep burden to serve God
yeah.
and a deep love for the people they're trying to reach and the care that they've been given. Take the initiative and say, Pastor, you need some time away, and we're going to make sure that happens for you. You know, when I was a pastor, only one time was I ever called back from vacation to handle a true crisis. A person died that was very yeah. significant in our church, and yeah. so I went back to minister to the family and to perform the memorial service. And when it was over, I planned to just stay home. I only had a few more days of vacation, and yeah. I wasn't going to go back.
Right.
But my church leader said, oh, no, you absolutely are going back. And in fact, wow. they made it financially possible and told me, you have to go back. Your family's not coming home early. You're not coming home early. Aww. And that meant so much to me yeah. because they were saying to me, we care about you. And while we know you had to be here for this situation, mm-hmm. we also know that our responsibility is to make sure this doesn't happen very often, and when it does happen, to make it right with you as much as we can. Give your leaders that kind of support if you want to sustain them in ministry leadership.
Wow. Thank you so much for this. This is just so many wise words for not just ministry leaders, but for all of those who are part of a congregation and just being a good a good part of the church body and right. helping to support, you know, our leaders. Thank you so much. We've been talking with Dr. Jeff Orts, president of Gateway Seminary. Gateway, by the way, 6 locations, including that greater LA campus in Ontario. If you want to find out more about Dr. Org, he's got a blog. You can go to Gateway Seminary. That's gs.edu. And his blogs are actually really fascinating. And I'm going to assume, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, where you can find out more about your books, too, because you have 9 of them, right?
The books, the podcast, the blogs, it's all there at gs.edu.
Okay, wonderful. Thank you so much again for being here. Appreciate you so much. You have been listening to A Passion for Christ. I'm your host, Don. Donna Rush. Please join me Monday through Friday right here on 99.5 KKLA from 5 until 10 a.m. for SoCal's Morning Rush, and you can hear a lot of your favorite ministry programs.
You've been listening to A Passion for Christ, sponsored by 99.5 KKLA. Tune in again next week at this same time for another intimate glimpse at what God is stirring in the hearts of Southern California's pastors, here on A Passion for Christ.
Three-star General Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.